Hey Tom, this is Rob Z from Seattle, Washington, home of the Seattle Mariners baseball franchise, and Safeco Field, which is a nice old-timey ballpark that replaced a very new-timey kingdome that was built in 77 and I watched implode in the year 2000. And just chiming in with some comments on the mighty Casey. And I'm going to try to use my best old-timey baseball announcer voice because, ladies and gentlemen, this is an incredible tale of a robotic pitcher who gains empathy and loses his competitive edge. Yeah, like a lot of Twilight Zone episodes that strive for comedy, this one falls flat, although it's not as bad as some. And there are actually a few really nice and more subtle comedic moments, such as when the manager, the coach, calls the general manager and part owner and mentions in passing how he'd like him to come on down and shake Casey's hand. So a nice sly way of getting some revenge, and it really shed some light on their rocky relationship. Which rocky relationships between coaches and general owners is the stuff of baseball legend, most notably between what happened with Billy Martin and George Steinbrenner of the Yankees throughout the 70s and 80s. And it gets at the heart of like some baseball mythos, which this episode kind of does. And like the Twilight Zone itself, I feel that baseball kind of peaked in the 50s and 60s, and then it's kind of become reiterations and shadows of its former self, largely due to a lot of rule changes and also just television itself. It's interesting, this episode came at a time when baseball was just starting to make inroads into a television market, and that market ultimately would warp the sport beyond all recognition. And due to contracts and advertising, and pretty soon the rules were being changed to make the game more appealing to advertisers, almost at home viewership, but it's not really about the viewers or spectators, it's more about the money. And unfortunately, as a child, I grew up loving it, baseball, but by the 1990s, the game had been so warped out of shape that I had to just give up on it, except for the feeling of nostalgia. And baseball is in itself kind of a nostalgia trip, because I really can't think of any other sport or game, really, that leans so heavily on the past to make sense of the present. Baseball is very much about the legends of the game, the history, the tradition, and as well, of course, as the statistics. It's, so much of time is spent breaking down statistics, and if you ever look at Michael Lewis's Moneyball, you'll see that there are always new lenses through which to look at the game and measure performance of its players. And I'm careful to call it a game and talk about them as players, not really a sport and athletes, because many have noted before me that I think the actual time of a 2.5 hour baseball game, the actual action, is only about 11 minutes of when the ball is actually in play. And the rest of the time is just setting it up, almost like chess pieces on a board, and are setting up chess problems. Which I think this kind of zen-like quality of baseball might in part explain why it's so popular in Japan, because it's a much more meditative game and it tends to really break down to that fundamental relationship between the pitcher and the batter. That's where every play begins. And it's really one of the most, I suppose cricket is similar, ritualized starting points and repetitions of any game or sport that I can think of.